This is the Dr. Chris Lib Podcast. Welcome to a special mini-series called Bone Saws Bring It Back, Faculty Edition. The University of Alberta Medical Class of 2013, the Bone Saws, had their 10-year class reunion in November 2023. I invited faculty leaders and block coordinators to share their updates and reflections with their class. These interviews were recorded in November 2023 and are being released now in 2024. Dr. Tammy McNabb is a clinical professor of medicine at the U of A. Since joining the faculty in 2006, she has been the endocrine block coordinator and assistant dean academic affairs, and she continues to teach. She is working towards her brown belt in karate, loves to sew her own clothes, and plays video games from time to time. She also enjoys baking bread, cooking, going for walks, and watching movies. She's passionate about medical education and human rights. All right, welcome to another special episode of the Bone Saws Bring It Back Faculty Edition. And today we have Dr. Tammy McNabb. How's it going today, Dr. McNabb?
Really good. Thanks for asking.
All right, so why don't you start us off? Give us a summary of where your career has taken you since 2013.
Yeah, since 2013, I continued to be block coordinator for endocrine block up until 2018. Then after that, I was assistant dean academic affairs actually for the MD program, which was a really cool job. I think being a block coordinator was lots of fun, at least a lot more fun, but being the assistant dean was, it allowed me to have a glimpse into students' lives, to be helpful to them in terms of working through their journey, to come up with creative ideas, advocate for human resources and accommodations that made me a little mini human rights expert, which I really enjoyed. In fact, one of my best friends now is the senior legal advisor for the university because we had so many different cases in common and things we had to do. So it was a really interesting and kind of an unexpected twist because I never saw myself in an administrative role like that. But I have to say, I made a lot of friends. I learned a lot and it was a really good experience. Since being in that role, I've actually kind of downsized a little bit. So now I work part-time. I do mostly endocrinology, some diabetes. I always have learners of all stripes in the clinic, from residents all the way through to the medical students. And I have an open door policy for medical students where they can come kind of shadowing whenever they want from first and second year. And so I get a lot of takers on that, which I really enjoy.
And so I guess as you've been in different roles, I'm curious from your vantage point, what would you say is the state of medicine slash healthcare?
I think anyone who works in healthcare really wishes that the government had a more proactive approach and that we were spending a lot more time in preventative care. I think that we are in a crisis when it comes to family medicine, and not just because that's the headlines in the news. That's what I see every day. Many of my patients do not have family physicians, or they're struggling to find someone who they can seek advice from and, you know, just-in-time care when needed. And I think likewise, family physicians are working double and triple time and have a really huge role and then are not properly, I don't think they're properly remunerated. And they don't have the status they should have as really the bedrock of our healthcare system. No family doctors, no healthcare system. And I think it's a really backwards mindset to be spending hundreds and millions of dollars on orthopedics and not giving a damn about family physicians. So no offense to people who are in specialties like me, but if you don't have a good relationship with family medicine, you do not have a good healthcare system.
Well, I'm certainly personally invested in the advocacy that you're making there as a person who's trying to make sure we take care of our people and take care of them in a way that reflects the training and the stuff that we've learned. So switching gears, you were the block coordinator when we were in medical school. So just looking back at that time, what would you say is your favorite memory as block coordinator?
Well, so when you guys started, I think that was my very first year as being block coordinator. I found out on Friday that I was going to be block coordinator on Monday. So it was an amazing trial by fire. And kind of a long story behind that, but Dr. Mary, who had been block coordinator before me, and then she became an assistant dean. She had Mel Lewis's job and for an associate dean, I think at the time or something. But anyway, so it was a conflict of interest for her to be in those two roles. So I was put forward as the coordinator. So that was a rough year because I didn't really know the course well. I didn't really have a good handle on all of the details around running a block. But I can say that after a couple of rough years where I learned, you know, the hard way, I'm sure some of your classmates will remember, and maybe not fondly, some of the exams and things that, you know, went on in terms of like things maybe being confusing or conflicting, or I said one thing and UME said something different. I learned very quickly. And, you know, after a couple of years, it was a lot more fun. I started to publish something called Dr. McNabb's Endocrine Anecdotes, which was like a little pet project to bring endocrinology into the everyday, talking about different things. And 1 year, a class gave me, at the end of the block, you know, sometimes you get a gift or a thank you. And they gave me some chips and yogurt because I talked about standing in the refrigerator, looking at the full fat yogurt while eating chips, you know, and deciding I wasn't going to eat that. But I gave them little anecdotes on that, and I found that quite fun. And I have lots of fond memories. I have students who still tap me on the shoulder in the hallway saying, I don't know if you remember me, but I was in your block. And like, after all these years, I've had probably more than, well, there's about 200 students per year if you were to include dentistry. And I've had probably more than 2,000 students come through the clinic or the classroom who know me, and many of whom, unfortunately, I don't get to know. But it is nice when someone stops me in the hall and says, hey, I remember you. Hi. So I appreciate that.
No, and that's great. And, you know, one of the things that I do when I have learners is I always frame our time together by saying, you're my junior colleague, I'm your senior colleague, so we're going to do this together because I'm teaching you, because eventually we're going to work together. And so with that in your mind, do you have any advice for junior colleagues who are earlier in their career? And if you have anything specific you want to say to the medical class of 2013?
So in terms of just in general, that's something that I've started telling every learner, or not learner, but junior colleague, someone who's in practice now, probably only in the last 3 or 4 years, is that just remember, when you say yes to your career, you're saying no to yourself and your family. And sometimes you have to do that, right? But if you are saying yes more often to achieve accolades or to try to make yourself feel good, or because it makes you feel like you're more worthwhile, you should take a step back, because you don't get those years back. Lots of you, like you, Chris, have young families and young children, and they grow up so fast. My daughter was just a baby when I started the endocrine block. Well, not a baby, but she was little. And now she's moved to Vancouver and those days are over. So, you know, there's that. And then also just the self-care and the time that you spend on yourself, you know, looking after yourself, eating, sleeping, having fun, playing games, whatever it is you do. You know, I just finished playing Hogwarts for half an hour because I needed a break. And like, those things are so valuable because you bring more back to the table. You can be more efficient and present with your patients, more humane, more kind, less pressured. So that's, I think, the big take home. And, you know, if you're not doing those self-care things, really take a hard look at why and try to change that. You know, being on call and things like that, you have to be there. Sometimes you have no choice, and that's life. But you definitely need to take time for yourself. There's no, you'll pay for it one way or another if you don't. That's one piece of advice I have. And in terms of specifics for your class, I just be honest, it's a blur. Because that was my first year, what I remember is a lot of sort of painful moments where I made a mistake or I did something on an exam that upset someone, you know. So, and it's not your class specifically, it's just, it was a big transition. It's like a transition to parenthood. But everyone got through it. We all survived. You guys are all in practice now and probably, hopefully, doing really well. And maybe learned a few things on the endocrine block that are handy. So I'd say I did appreciate the opportunity, even when it wasn't always good times. It was good learning for me too. So thank you for putting up with me at the time, even though you didn't really have any choice. And I hope that if you're in a teaching role now and you're struggling yourself, you just remember it's not always as easy as you think it should be. That's a piece of advice I have too.
So then just going to our last question here, what would you tell your younger version of yourself 10 years ago?
Well, I think maybe even more than 10 years ago, because I think in the last 10 years, I've grown up a lot in terms of how I look at life. But I think that I would give my younger self more permission to be less stressed about everything. When you're young and you're busy with your family and your career is new and you've got a lot on the go and a lot of responsibility and lots of things are new, you can get really drawn into all of that and can get really too serious. And it's easy to say, kind of chill out a little bit and let things unfold on their own, but they do anyway, in spite of your frantic pushing in one direction or scrabbling in another or getting up super early and staying up super late or whatever it might be. And medicine tends to push people that way. I'd say just try to relax more, try to, you know, go with the flow a bit more and make sure that you, as I said earlier, step off the treadmill and take time with your family and with yourself more. And that's what I would have done more when I go back in time.
Well, Dr. Wingnat, thank you so much for your time. And I just really appreciate you taking this time, but also just appreciate how you continue to be involved with medical education. And I think for your learners that come through your clinic, I'm sure they just appreciate, because it takes a certain person to keep a open door for medical students to come through, you know, and I think that affects so much of the flow, but you're certainly investing into the future of the next generation of physicians. Even as I was preparing for this, I think my specific memory that I have of you as block coordinator is I felt your heart and how you just want to make sure we were prepped, and even like for the reviews and at the end of the week and even for the comp exam, as I was looking through, I can just feel how you're like trying to help us to succeed. And, you know, that's, I think, something that has to be commended, because I know that to do anything for teaching, it, you put a disproportionate amount of effort in, and the returns may not always be evident. But I just wanted to acknowledge the effort and that it was seen, and just really appreciate your time again. So hopefully we'll cross paths again in the future and have a chance to catch up.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for that feedback too. I always appreciate hearing how things are going, and if I've had a positive impact, I'm really pleased to hear that. Thank you very much, and for taking up the torch for the next generation.